like what I thought these teams had to win, like if they wanted to
Love
have it.
Talk Radio.
Yeah.
Going over the Mets in New York with the Jets. Then we'll take you into the Big Ben injury and talk about injuries around the NFL. Then we'll also be hitting up college football and going over some of the big games this week with the top 25 and the three undefeated. And then finally, we'll head over and give you a little bit of a preview on our NFL picks for this week. So, Saul, you want to start us out with the Jets mess?
Wow. Well, that's been quite the carousel this week. You know, you got anonymous players coming out criticizing Tebow, saying he's terrible, saying this and that. Well, I mean, it's kind of hard to be credible when you're not even going to put your name, you know, on what you're saying. So that's, you know, you kind of got to take that with whatever it's worth, I guess. But what's even the bigger problem is why are, you know, players coming out criticizing a quarterback who hasn't even seen the field? He hasn't done anything for them. I don't even see why, really, besides the fact that Tebow might deserve to get more of an opportunity because the Jets are 3-6 and Sanchez sucks. So, but I don't understand why they would come out and start critiquing a backup quarterback like when he hasn't done anything. Like, he hasn't done anything to lose your team. He's not the reason you're 3-6. Like, why even bring it up?
Yeah, well the thing is that I think Tebow's a scapegoat right now in the situation. They're trying to put some blame somewhere else, maybe, possibly. Anything to kind of mask what's really going on. I mean, let's face it, they really brought him in there to do what? Sell jerseys. Everybody knows that he was the number one jersey seller in the league and still is, I believe, to this point. So, I mean, why not? They brought him in, made a ton of money off him. But now we're at the point now where Mark Sanchez, I mean, he's terrible right now. He looks awful. Why not? I'll take a Tebow. I know he's not the best quarterback. I'm not saying he's amazing. I'm not saying he's Alex Smith. But what I am saying is that he can get the job done for what they need to do. I mean, what's it going to hurt? Let him run.
I mean, yeah.
Let him do what they did. I know they don't have the same personnel as the Broncos, but who cares? Give him a shot.
The only argument against that is if the Jets honestly ever think they're going to win with Sanchez, they're going to really
ruin his relationship,
little confidence he might have. If they bench him for the rest of the year, they're basically saying, all right, we're giving up on you.
Yeah.
And then they have to start completely over. Tebow's not the answer. Tebow's never going to leave. Tebow's not the quarterback that you're going to want to build your franchise around.
Sanchez ain't the answer either.
No,
in my
he's not.
Right now.
And, you know, here's on, I read actually a quote that the Jets owner came out and said that he thinks Sanchez
is their franchise
quarterback. And, right. I mean, I guess
well,
if you look at
the first round, so.
Well, yeah, and they're paying him, you know. And the first 2 years, it looked like he was going to be a franchise quarterback. He took them to the AFC Championship twice. But the last 2 years, whether it's his fault, whether it's the coaching's fault, whether it's, you know, the management fault for not giving him personnel, whatever it is, it's not working. And, you know, I think they need to either commit to him or they need to – I don't know so much that he's the problem as a matter of part of it's just the personnel. And I think Rex Ryan at some point is going to be the odd man out. I think they're going to keep Sanchez and eventually probably get rid of Rex Ryan.
You think so? You think they'll move on? I don't know, man. I think eventually they're going to have to give up on Sanchez. He doesn't even fit the team. Right now they have no weapons. I mean, their defense is aging. Dude, they got to rebuild that whole team. You know, the problem is what are you going to get for Sanchez?
Well, they're not going to
be able to get anything.
They're not going to be able to trade him. The only, I mean, he's not worth anything.
Honestly,
no team's going
to
trade for him.
Tebow might be more valuable to like the Jaguars right at this moment, just because they'll sell a ton of jerseys.
Yeah, but then they got to give up on the quarterback that they took in the first round last year.
Tebow's such a hot commodity, a hot topic right now, and so he brings so much drama. Honestly, I think the best place for Tebow is to stay in New York. They should keep him in there. They already have a circus going, so what's it going to hurt? I don't think any other teams, maybe the Jaguars, just because of the jersey selling, like I told you, they'll fill the stadium a little bit for the first couple weeks, because that's where he's from.
Are they going to bail? But then they got to bail on Blaine Gabbert, who they drafted
exactly.
in the top 10.
And I totally understand.
And that's kind of the same situation as Sanchez. You know,
it would be another publicity stunt for the Jaguars. But anyway, so really, I mean, I don't think they're going to be able to get rid of him. And if they do release him, Tebow, I don't know if he'll play in the NFL next year.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I don't think a lot of teams don't want Tebow because of what he brings with him as far as media.
Right, right.
You know, he's the backup quarterback. He's probably played 25 snaps all year.
Yeah.
Yet he's getting press conferences after every game.
Well, I'll tell you what. I know
that's not probably his choice. He's not signing up for it. The ownership or whoever wants to talk to Tebow. He's an interesting talk. You know, everybody wants to hear from Tebow. Everybody wants to hear his opinion.
Right.
And, you know, that's not necessarily his problem, but it brings in so much extra, I guess you could say, media
attention. Absolutely.
That you don't need for your team, especially when he's a backup quarterback.
Well, the thing is they already have so much attention on how lousy they are, and they bring enough attention to themselves anyway.
Well,
so,
you know, Rex Ryan,
you know, he almost fits in on their motley crew they got going. You know, it's a circus, and they need to get rid of the clowns. I mean,
well, if they're going to get rid of the clowns, they need to start with probably the ringleader, and that's Rex Ryan. If you're going to get rid of any of the clowns, I mean, dude, that guy comes out on the media every week and says some kind of, you know, ridiculous comment. You know, he hasn't so much now. They're 3-6. What's he going to say? I mean, they're not going to make the playoffs. He can't honestly think they're going to make the playoffs. They're a bad football team.
Oh, they're
that offense
real bad.
Is really bad. The defense isn't even really that good.
They're not. They're aging. I mean, they're not terrible though. They can get the job done, but they don't have an offense to put up points right now.
Well, and that's the thing. You know, you got Sean Green, who's not a good NFL running back. You got no wide receivers. I mean, you have Dustin Keller's probably your best option,
yeah,
and he's your tight
absolutely.
End. And he's an average tight end. He's not in the upper echelon of tight ends. So when you're expecting that team to what? Like, what can you expect from that personnel? You can't expect that team to look at that team and be like, wow, they're going to compete in the NFL this year.
But as far as calling out one of your teammates, and then you go anonymous, that's weak sauce, dude.
You know, that's almost like...
That's weak sauce, man.
That's almost more
you
like...
You don't do that. That's
I read
garbage,
a thing like, Bart, you know, they were like,
nah,
well, who's the anonymous source? It could
that's
be the,
lame.
It could be the janitor. It could be the equipment manager.
Yeah,
it doesn't really matter.
It's lame,
it's
dude.
Just lame.
It's just,
when you're going to come out... And
they said player, anonymous player.
You know, but who knows? The way the New York media is, they could be making that up, too. The New York media is...
I doubt it.
I doubt
they would. It's happened before.
But
I wouldn't put anything past one of them players. You know, who knows who did it, but I'd imagine it's one of the probably the linemen or somebody like that. They've already come out and said that Sanchez is their guy. And, Sanchez is probably a hell of a lot cooler, but I think they should give Tebow a shot. Who cares? Let him... You know, honestly, Tebow needs to just change his position at this point.
Yeah.
Dude, he's
should be, he should be an H-back.
250
pounds. You know, he should be a run-the-ball H-back type thing. I mean, he's not going
to
be an NFL quarterback. And I can't see anybody.
He tight end, man.
Tight end, yeah. But does he have the hands? I don't know how his hands are. You know, I don't know how he is as far as that. He probably, if he wants to stay in the NFL, he's not going to be a quarterback.
No.
Nobody's going to pay him to be a quarterback. And let's be honest. Outside of a few teams, quarterback is not that many teams' priorities right now. A lot of teams have good quarterbacks right now. Quarterback play in the NFL is actually pretty good for the most part right now. I mean, there's a few teams that have, you know, mediocre quarterbacks, but I can't think of very many teams
right
who are going to, that Tebow's going to come into their team and beat out their quarterback.
Well, right now, I mean, let's face it, there is a few teams you could go and play for. Kansas City sucks. I mean, they could use a quarterback. And I don't know, we got people that wrote in last week and said they'd take Matt Castle. Well, good luck with that. You're not going to win very many football games. That's proven. The only time he's ever won is on the Patriots, and they were set up. He was on cruise control.
Yeah, that's kind of...
all you had to do was go out there and show up, pretty much.
That's
kind of won.
That's kind of an interesting thing about the Chiefs. I saw that Dwayne Bowe actually says he wants to retire a Chief. You know, I don't know if he's, like, trying to, like, play that midseason, like, I'm not going to bail my team. I mean, really? Like, why would you...
Here's the sad part. Kansas City actually has devoted fans. They're pretty diehard. They have a great stadium. You know, it's one of the better stadiums. And they have a good following, man. They're a historical team.
They're just terrible.
I mean,
one of the few teams, like Kansas City, Buffalo. Yeah. There's a couple teams that have really – they're kind of a smaller city, but they have really, really strong fan bases. But the problem is they're a small market. They don't have a lot of funding. And nobody wants to go there and play. Nobody wants to go to Buffalo and play football. It's cold in the winter. There's not a lot to do. It's kind of isolated in the Northeast. And nobody wants to go. They have to way overpay to keep people in Buffalo, and they overpay for average to good talent. They pay
a good
quarterback great money, or they pay a defensive end $100 million.
I'll tell you what, that's all in your personal management, and that's, you know, what your GM gets paid to do. I mean, at one time the Bills had an amazing team for a decade almost. I mean, they were the dominant team. Same thing in Kansas City. They've been dominant before. They've gotten great players in there. It's up to the GMs, dude. Right now, a lot of these small market teams have bad GMs.
Well, I think part of the other thing was is in the late 80s, early 90s, into the 90s when the Bills, the Chiefs were good, free agency wasn't as prominent. Players stayed put. Like, players played their whole career with teams. You don't see that very often anymore. And that's another thing. If the team sucks, players just bail. Like, they demand to be traded or they leave because they don't want to wait out for that team to build up a team.
What happens is that happens, and then another thing that happens, and I believe it happened to the Kansas City Chiefs, is when Pioli left the New England Patriots, dude, when you fall in love with players, but they get old. They took in Vrabel, dude. He was like 42 years old or something. Who knows? He was like, had a broken hip, and they took him in anyways. Castle, he fell in love with Castle. He thought he was the next answer. Because he took over for Tom Brady. Everybody else saw. I mean, Castle used to drive me crazy, dude. Remember, I used to scream about him. Every third down, he'd run the ball because he'd panic. He'd bobble the ball in his hands, and then he'd just run every time. And he's doing the same thing in Kansas City. He's not a good quarterback. He's not a starting NFL quarterback.
Yeah, and then there are other options, Brady Quinn.
He'd be a great backup, like get Brady's hand warmer ready for him and get his water bottle out there, and he wears the cool headset, and he has the sheet, and he looks cool. He's good at that. He's probably one of the best. Him and Drew Bledsoe. Anyways.
You're right. They're a team that absolutely, and right now they're on the verge of being right in there for the number one pick. They have to take a quarterback. They're probably going to take a Matt Barkley. I don't know who the number one rated quarterback. You know, Geno Smith was there until he started sucking. But they have to get a quarterback in there. You cannot win in the NFL unless you have an above average quarterback. You will not. You can make it the playoffs. You may even win a game.
No, you
will not win a Super Bowl with a quarterback that's not above average.
No, you're right. 100% right. This isn't how it used to be, where defense wins championships.
When was the last time a team did that?
What, the Ravens
won
maybe?
The Super Bowl
the
with a below average quarterback? Was with Dilfer in 2001?
Yeah,
we were looking
like that,
over a decade ago. Was the last time a quarterback? Well, actually, you know what? The Buccaneers won it with Rob Johnson too, right?
Yeah, they did.
Or Brad Johnson.
Brad Johnson,
and that was in like 2004.
Right,
but that was another team that had no. Amazing defense.
That was
Gruden's year.
The Gruden camp.
With Warren Sapp.
We'll get into the Gruden talk in a little while. Hey, we're going to take a break right now. Please give us a call at 323-843-6059. And stay tuned. Coming up next, we're going to talk a little more football, and we'll get into our college picks and go over the top teams, top 25, and tune in and give us a call. Stay tuned. This is the Hard Count. Okay, and we're back. This is the Hard Count. Again, our number is 323-843-6059. Give us a call, guys. So anyways, we got a game going on right now out in Buffalo. We got the Miami Dolphins and the Buffalo Bills playing. Right now, Buffalo's up 19-7.
Yeah, this appears to be a toilet bowl type game tonight. But, you know, got a couple, one punt return, one kick return is the main highlights of the game. And you got Ryan Lindell has four field goals. So
wow.
You know, the Dolphins, have about, appears about 50 yards of total offense.
What's going on with my buddy Tannehill? He's got to fall apart or what?
Yeah, he's got 44 yards passing.
Yeah,
and
wow,
he's
that's
got
killer.
7 yards rushing, 6 for 11.
Wow.
Reggie Bush has 4 carries, negative 3 yards.
Jeez.
I guess he's going to be benched again.
Yeah, what do you think
probably.
About that?
Well, yeah, benched him because, I mean, first of all, they were way behind, so they had to pass the ball. So, I mean, he probably wasn't going to get that many carries anyway.
Okay.
He fumbled. It was kind of a big fumble.
Right.
It led to a, you know, the fumble led to a touchdown for the Titans. And then, you know, Daniel.
Is that something
is
that something you'd do
as
a head coach? I mean, you know, Reggie Bush has been pretty solid this year for them.
He has
honestly,
been.
Honestly, you've talked about him. You've been raving about him all season.
I was, you know, in the last 2 weeks.
I mean, one fumble, does that constitute a benching?
I mean,
is this high school football or what?
Not necessarily, but they have they're kind of in a different situation, I think, because they do have a pretty serviceable backup.
I mean, Adrian Peterson followed the ball 3 times in a championship
game.
Well,
let's not go putting Reggie Bush and Adrian Peterson in the same sentence.
I'm just saying. But to the Miami Dolphins, they don't really have another option. So
well, they got Daniel Thomas. Daniel Thomas has been effective with carries.
But Reggie Bush is a more explosive and you're better running back on the
team.
Yeah,
but when they've both been healthy, that's been more of a running back by committee. Reggie Bush started getting more carries when Daniel Thomas was hurt.
I understand.
Now Thomas
that.
Is back healthy.
But,
so it's kind of always been a running back by committee, which is kind of why I think Reggie Bush.
Well,
and tonight he's got 4 yards.
He got 8 carries total.
And let's be honest, dude. The Bills' defense is not elite. You know, they don't. It's not like they're a run-stopping machine or anything like that.
You know, that's another thing. I was looking at their when they were doing the defensive lineups and all that, and I saw them on the field. Dude, the Bills' defense. I mean, what's wrong with them? They have a dude. They don't have a terrible on paper defense, man.
No, and it appears
they got a good on paper defense. I mean, I like a lot of those players that are on their defense. They really can't get it together right now.
I mean, it appears they're playing better tonight, but it's tough to judge. Miami scored 3 points against the Titans last week.
Has been hurt.
But he I saw a few clips on when I was watching NFL Network. He actually looked good. He was looking explosive again. He looked pretty explosive on a couple plays. He's got a sack tonight, a couple tackles. He's got a forced fumble, or 2 tackles for loss, not a forced fumble. So he's having a pretty good game, it appears. I mean, but I don't ever think that – I don't know that a defensive end should ever be paid the kind of money that he got to begin with. I don't
know, especially when he's, in my opinion, past his prime. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
He's past his prime.
And is a defensive end going to be – you need to be saving those $100 million contracts for somebody who's a game changer.
Yeah, somebody
like, you need
a
game changer, you know, whether it's a – I mean, a running back's never worth that much because of the injuries. But you need to be saving that money for an elite quarterback.
Right.
I mean, or you should there's very few players – anywhere that should be getting $100 million in the NFL.
Yeah.
And Mario Williams is not one of them.
Unless you're if you're the staple of the team and you're the man, you know, if you're the leader of that team.
I mean, Vic got
Mario Williams just came to that team. He didn't even know anybody.
Yeah, well, this is what we were talking about kind of earlier. The Bills lately have been overpaying for talent.
The Bills should just have just rebuilt through the draft. And they shouldn't have ran out there and spent all this money, in my opinion.
I mean, they have some promise.
All the time.
They have some promise. You know, Spiller looks good. When Spiller's been getting the carries and healthy, he's looked good. He's got 81 yards tonight. He's having a pretty solid game.
He's passed on so many quarterbacks.
Well, you know, then they paid, like you said, they paid Fitzpatrick $65 million. Ryan Fitzpatrick is not that kind of a quarterback.
He's going to throw the ball 70 times a game, but...
His stats.
He's also going to throw interceptions.
Like you said, his stats look good because, you know, he gets behind. They get behind a lot. He airs it out a lot. He gets good yardage, and his numbers look better than what they are. And they fell in love last year. The Bills got off to that really hot start. They started out what was 5-0, 5-1, 4-1. They started out really good. They crushed the Pats.
Yep.
Like and it looked like Ryan Fitzpatrick, the Bills are for real.
Then
they just fell off the face. They just fell off. You know. They were garbage after that.
Oh, absolutely.
So, you know, I think that's enough about this game. Unless you have anything else you want to add.
No. I'm done with that game. I mean, you know, I don't think it's that exciting of a game.
But it's a 19-7 game. It's on NFL Network. That's about it for that. What do you think about Big Ben, you know? I mean, what do you think the state of the Steelers are with Big Ben and that rib injury? He's got the shoulder injury. And then it sounds like the more serious of the two is the rib injury because it's – potentially could, I guess if he moves, gets hit the wrong way, I guess they're worried that it could pierce his aorta, which is a major artery, obviously the biggest artery in your
No, absolutely. Yeah.
So, but I think they're going to be in a lot of trouble right now. Unless for some reason they can just really, really get their running game like to run like 150 yards, a couple touchdowns. They're going to have to really control the clock, play like really good with the running game, and just have their defense play, you know, a really great game, which, I mean, they're capable of. But with Bryant, you know, Leftwich at quarterback, I think it's going to be tough, you know.
Yeah, I don't like Pittsburgh without Big Ben, dude. I know people are saying, well, you know, the Ravens are you know, beatable right now because of their defense. But to be honest with you, I mean, I know they played an easier team last week. They had a good matchup, but they did take full advantage of it, and they threw up a lot of points last week. And sometimes, you know, in the NFL, if anywhere else, once you get on a roll, you get on a roll. And I really think they're going to handle the Steelers, man. Leftwich is way, way too slow. I mean, that's always been his problem. Everybody knows it. He did it the other night. He takes forever to throw the ball. And the Ravens are going to blitz the hell out of him, dude.
Terrell Suggs is going to eat him.
They're going to put the pressure on him. And Byron Leftwich can't run the ball. He's not even close to what Big Ben is. He's a big dude. You know, and he's a strong guy. But, dude, Big Ben has that quick release also, you know, and he's just a lot more agile than Byron Leftwich. It's like he has bad awareness, no agility, and forever to throw the ball.
Well, yeah, and that's the biggest thing. It's like,
I mean, he couldn't even stay on the Jaguars.
I don't know how you can have that slow of a release in the NFL. I mean, his release is like, I don't think he could throw a quick slant. I don't think he could throw any kind of quick pass route.
Well, that was his problem in Jacksonville.
And so basically he's going to have to take 7-step drops,
yeah,
and hope
every
for
time.
A good, you know,
absolutely.
He has to have protection if he's going to complete the ball.
He's always been good in the shotgun. You know, it's always been his thing. He's been, even at Marshall, I mean, when he was in college, he was good in the shotgun.
I mean, I watched him throw a 2-yard screen pass with a full windup. I thought he was playing baseball out there.
Yeah.
I mean, it was literally a full windup. It's a joke.
They're in trouble. Without Big Ben, they're going to struggle. They are going to struggle. The good thing they do have going, if they can pass protect, Leftwich does have a cannon for an arm. If they can pass protect for him, and with their speedy receivers on the outside,
Mike Wallace,
dude, they could air it out. I don't see it happening, though. I'm going to take I would take the Ravens in this game as of right now.
Yeah, it's in Pittsburgh. I mean, I think it's going to be still a close game. I wouldn't expect a blowout. These games are always dogfights. You know, the Steelers,
Pittsburgh's an advantage, but it's not much when you're playing the Ravens.
You know the Steelers' defense is going to be amped up.
Right,
they always
right.
are when they play the Ravens. It's always a tight game. These
yeah.
games are always tight. You know, Pittsburgh still has the running game. Their running game's been good. With Dwyer, Redmond, I believe Mendenhall might be coming back. I don't know how they're going to rotate those three. That's going to be kind of interesting to see what happens with those. But they're definitely going to run the ball a lot, probably try to limit Leftwich's throws,
yeah, I think,
and try to play defense and ball control football and hope that they can keep it like a 17-13 game and they can give themselves a chance to win.
I think Flacco's going to throw for 4 Bills again. I'm messing around. You know how I feel about Flacco. I think he'll have a decent game, though, against the Steelers. I think they're going to play good. I think Ray Rice will have a decent game. They always play the Steelers pretty tough, man. So without Big Ben, I don't think the Steelers will get it done here, you know. So I would pick the Ravens myself. That's who I'm going with this weekend.
Yeah, I have to lean Ravens in that game. I mean, I'd probably give it like a 60-40. I'd probably give the Steelers a 40% chance to win that game still, though. I mean, I could see it. If their defense can keep them in it, they could probably – you know, hang in there and maybe win. I don't know if you have anything else about that, or if you want to go into
no, we can
college football, or
yeah, let's hit up our college for the week. Let's start with we'll go through the top 10 or whatever. You know, we got Kansas State at Baylor.
Yeah,
I mean,
on paper, you know, I don't know what the spread is. Kansas State's probably at least a 10-point spread, I would say. I would definitely favor Kansas State. Baylor has a really bad defense. Their defense is very below average. Colin Klein, Huger, you know, the wide receivers, they should be able to
spread
move the ball
13
pretty easy
on that.
You know, me personally, I actually like the Kansas State on that spread. Baylor has a pretty solid offense. They'll probably score a few points. Kansas State has a really underrated defense. The Big 12 – and as a whole conference
is pretty bad defensively, but Kansas State's one of the few teams who actually do have a pretty good defense. So that's, you know, that's my take. I like Kansas State to win, you know, probably like a, I would say like 45-21, somewhere in that range.
I'll tell you this. Kansas State has a better overall team, okay? Baylor's defense is susceptible. So, but this is an upset alert for me, dude. Baylor's going to play up, dude. Their quarterback's on fire. I mean, Florence, he's not a bad quarterback.
No,
he's already over 3,000 for the season. I mean, you know, the thing with him is they got to limit the turnovers. If they turn the ball over like they usually do, if they turn the ball over, then they don't have a chance. Because Kansas State, the thing about them is they don't make mistakes. That's the biggest thing with this team, dude. They figured it out. If you play clean football in college and you don't turn the ball over, you're going to win almost every game you play in.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, so right now, if Baylor doesn't turn the ball over, I think they're going to play the gangbusters, dude. And I think this is an upset alert. For me, it's I'm watching it. I, by no means am I saying I think Baylor's better than Kansas State. I'm just saying Kansas State has a lot of pressure on them right now. And
yeah, but I think that if Kansas State was gonna lose, they would have lost last week.
I think Baylor's gonna cover the spread. It's 13. I think they will.
I think you're overrating Baylor big time. They're 1-5 in the Big 12.
I'm not overrating. I'm going off of. I think they're gonna play up, and I think Kansas State is due for a somewhat of a letdown.
I don't see it, man. I just see a team that. Kansas State isn't like that super high, high. You know, they're not the glamour team.
They haven't played an offense like this yet.
They have. They played Oklahoma. They played Texas Tech.
Oklahoma's good. They haven't played an offense like this yet. I'm telling you, dude.
Baylor's
got a dynamic offense. They're super fast, dude. We'll see what happens. But I'm just saying this is a possible upset alert.
Yeah, I guess it could be a mini one. I'm not sold. I don't think so.
This is the killer right here.
Yeah, they're
that's the killer.
They allow 39
that's
points a game.
That's the killer. And then this,
come
they
on,
got a
man.
Good home record.
That's
they
what
do.
I'm trying to tell you. Kansas State.
I'm telling you.
Kansas State.
Hey,
like,
they get the
really
magic of RG3 in that stadium.
They
still.
Don't, though.
They do.
They do not.
They absolutely do,
Kansas
too.
Kansas State rolls.
It's an upset
man.
Alert. I'm saying it right now.
All right. That's your call. Let's go on to Oregon. Oregon-Stanford. That's probably the highlight game of the week. You want to go to break and hit that one up afterwards?
No, let's hit it up right now. Let's do
okay.
it. We're in the moment.
All
right. We're in the
so
moment.
So Oregon-Stanford, that's got to be
we're
the...
We're in the moment. Let me...
It's got to be the big game of the week.
Absolutely.
I'm not sure. I would say Stanford's is probably a slight underdog. I would say Oregon's about a 7-point favorite on the road, which is probably... Oh, wow, 20.5.
20.5.
Oregon's a 20.5 points favorite on Stanford. Personally, I like Oregon big in this game. I'm not sure how you feel about it. Stanford offense is a little, you know, their passing game is not very good. Their running game is good with Stephon Taylor, but, and their defense is so-so. I've yet to see, there's not a team that Oregon can't score on. Maybe Alabama, LSU, maybe a couple of those SEC teams they might struggle with, but there's not a team in the Pac-12 that's going to stop Oregon. They're going to put up 50 to 60 points. Stanford, you know, will probably score 30. Oregon probably covers the spread, and this will look like a – this game's going to look closer on paper. It looks closer just because it's the number 2-ranked team versus the number 13th-ranked team.
Yeah,
but in all reality, this game isn't going to be that close.
Look, this year in college football, I'll tell you what, there's a huge difference between the top – 5 teams, and then everybody else. There's a big difference, dude. In Stanford right now, the only way they're going to even stay in this game is if they hold the ball and run with Taylor, and they're not going
to
do it.
Yeah, they're going to
they won't do it. They're going to let Nunez loose, and he's going to throw picks. Stanford's going to...
And let's say somehow get turnovers. Yeah, it's not going to happen.
Let's take this call.
Yeah, I like to
go ahead. You're on the air
live
on the hard count.
Situation this week. I don't think any of the 3 teams this week are going to lose, but I do believe 2 of the 3 are going to lose before the end of the year, and I think the SEC's champ is actually going to play the winner that doesn't get beat, and unfortunately, I'm afraid that my Oregon team is going to be one of the ones that are going to drop out. I don't think they're going to lose this week, but But I think the Civil War game is going to be harder than anything because Oregon State is looking out to get us because we've gotten them the last 4 years in a row. So I do believe that's where we're going to probably lose, and I think Notre Dame is going to lose. I don't think Kansas State's going to lose. I think they're going to go on to the championship. And I also do believe that, like I said, the championship of the SEC is going to be playing Kansas State. That's what I think. What do you think about that situation? You there?
Hello? Yeah, you know what? Right now, what I think about it is I think you're pretty accurate. I think that I think that so much echo on it. So, anyways, we lost that call. We lost our live call-in, but what he was getting at was a good point. He was saying he thinks two of the three unbeatens are going to lose. Right now we have such a delay on our thing, so we'll just go from there. But what he was saying was, what the caller was saying was real educated. He's saying that he thinks that Oregon could lose, not this week, but he thinks they will lose to the Oregon State team during the Civil War, and possibly Notre Dame also losing, you know, which I also thought they could possibly lose the USC. I think they could do it. I mean, they've come close. But, like I said, there's some magic with this Notre Dame team. But he was also stating that he thinks Kansas State will go undefeated and they'll play the best SEC team, which is, I'll tell you right now, if Oregon loses and Notre Dame loses and K-State goes undefeated, if Alabama wins out, they'll be playing
K-State.
Well, yeah,
obviously. That'd be an obvious scenario. Honestly, I don't see Oregon losing. I mean, I know the Civil War game is always a big game. It's in Corvallis. It's going to be a big game.
And he was a Ducks fan, by the way.
And it's going to be a big game for Oregon State. I mean, it's that game's always huge, and it's always close. But Oregon just seems really, really good this year. And I just don't see them getting beat.
I think that they could possibly lose that game as well. I don't think that I don't know, man. USC's pretty bad. They might get up for that one game. You know,
USC for Notre Dame?
Yeah, USC Notre Dame. I don't. It's in USC though. That's the big thing. It's going to be a pretty intense game. But Notre Dame's going to be flying high, man. I don't think they're going to lose that game. You know, I don't know. It's really hard with these three teams right now. There's a possibility. I would say it was really educated what he just said, and I heard it this morning as well when I was watching TV. A lot of people are saying that two of the three will lose.
Yeah,
but, you know,
I mean, if I could see Notre Dame losing possibly to USC.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't see Kansas State losing. This is their last game, I believe, right? This Baylor game? I don't know if they got one more game or not.
If you listen to my show about 2 weeks ago, I literally called the Alabama loss. It was during the game before LSU. I said they're going to lose a game this year. They're just not the same team. They're younger. They lost so many players. You can't lose that many players and be the same team. And to be honest with you, I don't think that even if Alabama goes to the championship, I think Oregon could beat them this year, man. I'll tell you this. I hope Oregon wins out because I'd like to see them finally do it.
Yeah, I think this is the year.
Chip Kelly's done a great job.
Yeah.
He deserves.
You know,
that.
It would be also interesting to see Kansas State, man. I mean, Snyder's been coaching there forever. I mean, this guy coached them up.
Yeah.
And I mean, this is his only one. See, here's the thing.
This is his one.
Chip Kelly's gonna have other opportunities. He is he brings in recruits. They're every year.
Right.
This is literally like a once in a time lifetime type thing for Kansas State program.
I understand.
Like they're
that.
Probably never gonna be there again.
I understand that. I wouldn't mind seeing them playing it. Notre Dame. I'm a fan, and they've already overachieved. They've gone way above and beyond, dude. I didn't think they'd even be in this conversation. So
yeah, and Kansas State actually still has Texas to play, so that's going to be another game
It's a big game. I mean, you know, Texas has been playing good. I mean, they don't have a great defense. But anyway, so That's that game. Next, we'll talk about Notre Dame and take some of your calls. Sorry about that drop call, bud. Thanks for the call. It was a good one. You know, real educated. So thank you for calling in. Sorry we lost you. We just have a little bit of a delay going on right now. So we'll try to fix that on the break. But feel free to call us. We're going to talk more college football when we get back and go over the top 10. You're listening to Hard Count at 323-843-6059. The thrill is gone. The thrill is gone.
Little BB King. Hey, we're back on the Hard Count. Please feel free to call us at 323-843-6059. We promise not to drop any more calls or I'll have to put money in the cookie jar.
Uh-oh. I haven't got about a quarter, so you ain't getting much.
Come on, buddy. All the money we're making off this show, are you serious?
Yeah.
Come on. Man.
I think we're paying for the show. I don't think we're getting anything off it.
Anyways, all right, so let's move on in college football now. Let's go to let's actually preview the Notre Dame Wake Forest game. Dude, they have Notre Dame as 24-point favorites.
You know, I mean, I would say that they could possibly cover
did
that.
They score that in a game.
But I don't know that Notre Dame can score 24 points.
I don't either.
Even against Wake Forest.
I don't know.
But
maybe they're pulling the annexation of Puerto Rico out there.
Maybe they'll win 24-0. Maybe they'll win 24-0. I don't know. I mean, this game's not going to be close, I don't think.
No.
I mean, but I don't know that they're going to cover the 24-point spread.
It won't be close as far as ball control, and I don't think Notre Dame will ever be in jeopardy of losing this game.
Wake Forest isn't going to score on them. That's the thing.
Yeah.
They'll probably score 3 to 7 points. Notre Dame will probably score, you know, 21 to 30. So it'll be close. They might come close to covering if they get up to 30, but yeah, I would take Wake Forest plus 24, but I mean, I definitely would say, you know, they're not, Notre Dame's going to win easily though.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think Notre Dame will take this one. My problem with Notre Dame, like I said before, they're young. Golson's, I mean, you know, he's a freshman. He's gonna manage the ball right now, unfortunately. Brian Kelly's got a great defense, but unfortunately, the offense, they're just not ready to compete for a national championship, in my opinion.
Yeah,
that's my opinion.
I think Notre Dame's, they're a really good team. I think they've played over their head some, though, and I think they did benefit a little bit from some of those teams that were ranked early in the year not being near as good as they looked like they were on paper. Some of those Big Ten teams they played that were ranked, you know, Michigan State was ranked 10th, I think, to start the year.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not even
that
in the
hurt
top
them.
50, you know. So, yeah. You know, some of the opponents, which isn't their fault.
No.
But some of the opponents that looked better at the beginning of the year on their schedule really weren't as good as what everybody thought they were going to be. So those wins, you know, might have been a little bit easier. But still, either way, you got to give them credit. They're 10-0. They did beat Oklahoma, and that was a good
win. And that was probably their best game of the year. But, if you win at that level, you know, you're undefeated, you know,
yeah.
At the end of the day.
Brian Kelly's really, done a good job putting Notre Dame back on the map.
He's amazing. He's doing a hell of a job. He's doing what Charlie Weiss couldn't. So, anyways, let's move on.
You mean Charlie Weiss, what couldn't Charlie Weiss do? Eat like 12 donuts?
Tie his shoes. Anyways, so let's move on to Alabama game.
They're playing, do we really want to talk about this game? They're playing Western Carolina.
Yeah.
They're like,
you know what? I'm just interested. Let's see what the spread is here.
There's not even a spread.
Yeah, they won't even have a spread for that.
It's probably
125.
Let me.
Who do we got next? And then you got Georgia Southern against Georgia. Georgia Southern's 8-2, but I mean.
Yeah, but I think they're Division II as well.
Yeah, no, they are.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, for Division II, I mean, they look great on paper.
Yeah,
dude.
They're gonna lose 56-0. Come on.
So anyway, so you got two winners there.
Really, the next big game.
The next one's Jacksonville State and Florida.
Yeah, it's kind of a garbage week for the top 10.
Mississippi and LSU. These are awful games, man.
Yeah, it's not a good week. The next big game probably would be a UCLA and USC.
I think Wofford is going to upset South Carolina.
Get out of here. Come on, man.
I'm messing around.
The next big game, if you go up a little bit further, we got the USC-UCLA game is going to be big, man. That actually has Pac-12 championship game implications. The winner of this game probably goes on to face Oregon in the Pac-12 championship. So everybody keeps talking about how good USC is.
The thing is,
honestly, if they lose this game, Lane Kiffin is definitely going to be on the verge of the hot seat for sure.
He's on the hot seat.
I mean, I don't think there's been any coach who, dude, I think he gets less out of his team. His team's like underperformed.
He's on
the
hot seat as soon as he flattened them balls against Oregon.
Well, here's a team that was a preseason number one. They were supposed to contend for the national championship.
Yeah.
Matt Barkley forego the NFL draft to come back to try to win a national championship. And this team's
is Matt Barkley a dinosaur? Is he a dinosaur?
A dinosaur.
I mean, a dinosaur as far as college football is concerned. You don't. He can't move. He's the last Tom Brady, Peyton Manning.
Yeah, he's a pocket passer.
Is this it? He might be the last one, dude.
There'll be others.
You think so?
Yeah.
I don't know. Matt Barkley's. He has pretty good numbers. It's just, God, it just doesn't translate for some reason. Their team, you know, their defense is young. They did this young, like, undersized, fast defense, and the whole thing was to keep up with Oregon's offense. And I get it, but it didn't work against standard teams like Stanford. They ran all over
them. They just underperformed. Lane Kiffin, teams underperform.
What do you think? It's the swag? You think it's the attitude?
I don't know what it is, but
I'm a badass.
But he has, like, he's taken over a program that was doing really well under Pete Carroll, and they have a really, really good players. I mean, Marquise Lee, Robert Woods, Silas Red, Barkley.
Yeah.
They keep going on. They have some of the best talent in college football, but for some reason, they underperform. Their team's not there. They don't show up every game to play. And UCLA on the other side is a big surprise this year. They're starting a true freshman quarterback. Jim Mora is in his first year there.
Jim Mora is doing a really good job.
For the most part, I mean, yeah, this is way too soft.
Jim Mora's brought a whole attitude to this program.
UCLA's
I'm going to take UCLA in this, dude. I like them.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they won. This is a tough game to pick. I mean, I'll probably take USC, but not like a high favorite. I think they'll probably win by 3 or 7 points.
3.5?
They might. That'll be close. I think it's gonna be like a field goal to a touchdown game. So,
I think Jim
Moore
got his guys jacked up on Jolt, and they're all running around like maniacs this week. And I think UCLA is going to handle business, dude. Or Jim Moore is going to beat some college kids up.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know what we really got left that you want to talk about for college. There's not a whole lot of relevant games.
A whole lot of good games.
I mean, you got Texas Tech, Oklahoma State. That's a game of two ranked teams. But really, that game's doesn't really have any implications for anything.
I'll tell you what. Let's come back. Let's come back and talk NFL a little bit. We'll go over the ending of this game. It's kind of a garbage game, but we'll go over the end of this game and then talk about this week's matchups. There's some good ones. My Pat's got Andrew Luck, the rookie, the machine right now. So,
yeah, he looks good, man. He looks like the real deal. The Pats will probably win. I like the Pats in that game.
We'll see what happens. But we'll talk about that when we come back. Let's take a little quickie and come right back. Hey, if you guys got something you want to talk about, hit us up. You got questions, whatever, hit us up and at 323-843-6059. And you're listening to The Hard Count. Okay, and we're back, and you're back with the hard count. Give us a call at 323-843-6059. And right now we're going to do something crazy, I know. Calm down. We're going to talk about the NBA, and we're going to talk about, of course, we had to tonight. Phil or Mike?
Well, I mean, you know, I'm not...
Talk some Lakers.
I'm not a big follower of NBA. I'm not, like, diehard. But I've been following the story a little bit. And, you know, us being out here in the L.A.,
of
if
course.
You listen to ESPN radio at all out here, that's all they talk about.
Yeah.
And here's the deal. I mean, the problem I think with Phil Jackson is I think Phil Jackson just felt like this was his job to come into whenever he wanted. Like, if they called him, they were just going to basically
make
him.
There was no urgency, right.
That. And then on top of that, I think he had a lot of – maybe he had more demands than what they wanted. I know he's starting to get older, and I know he was. There's some things about him not traveling for all the road games, you know. I don't know. Like, he also – there was rumors saying that he wanted some kind of control in personnel.
You
know?
Think Jim Buss just made this decision? Like, they're making him the scapegoat right now to the fans?
No, I don't
– I mean, come on. Dr. Buss obviously had a lot to do with it. He didn't just say, hey – I just think it's funny. I think it's true that Lakers fans always blame Jim Buss. He's like the schmuck at the table. They want to blame him for everything that's wrong with the team and give everybody else credit when
but
they
he's done a lot of good for the team. He just got him
Absolutely.
Dwight Howard.
Absolutely.
He just got him Steve Nash.
Go.
But here's the thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I think part of the Mike D'Antoni signing had to do with, you know, they have Steve Nash. Mike D'Antoni coached Steve Nash for a long time in
I
Phoenix.
Get it. Yeah.
You know, he has Dwight Howard. That team's going to fit really well in a pick
Did
and roll
work?
Type offense. I mean, they made the Western Conference Championship like multiple
it.
Times.
Yeah.
And they lost to some really good teams.
But do you want the guy that won five championships with you on your team? Or do you want the guy that almost won a championship? That almost went to a final.
I mean, I see your point and I understand.
And
where
was
you're...
it fair what they did, dude? They gave him until Monday and then call him at midnight and wake him up to tell him, by the way, we hired somebody else.
What I heard was that they said Phil Jackson said he wanted to wait till Monday,
right.
And call him back.
Absolutely.
And from what
and
Mitch,
you should
from
give
what,
that respect.
Yeah, but what Mitch Kupchak said was that's fine. We'll give you till Monday, but we're gonna move on also with our hiring process. He didn't admit that he wasn't gonna hire anybody before Monday. He just said he was gonna give Phil Jackson till Monday.
But do you see what you're doing to me? You know, if I'm Phil Jackson, it's like, dude, you're the greatest coach, the best. Probably the best, one of the greatest coaches of all time, probably the best. And you're not going to give me 2 days to decide to make up my mind up? Are you kidding me? Okay. To be honest with you, I'm going to be honest. This Lakers team, Phil Jackson's better off staying out of this thing. I'll be honest with you. There's something going on with that chemistry I don't like, and they can try every offense they want. They have a bunch of great players, don't get me wrong. They're older, though. And this is a long season, dude, and I don't think they're going to be able to run D'Antoni's defense, offense.
Well, here's the thing. I think Mike D'Antoni might have to tweak his offense a little bit to fit this team. I mean, I know in Phoenix he ran the – basically you got 7 seconds or less. You got to basically shoot the ball within 7 seconds of the play clock. I think they're going to have to maybe adjust and tweak it a little bit.
Dude.
I mean, Steve Nash
dude,
is 39 years old.
The game's moved on. Steve Nash is – lost in translation at this point, dude. I really think so. He's a cool name. He's neat. He has a cool haircut. But the thing is, the game's moved on, dude. He's like a middle-aged man.
He's 39. Well,
dude,
he's going to be 39 soon.
These little thugs are out there, dude, doing crossovers. And he looks lost. He doesn't look good, man.
I think part of the thing was
– he doesn't look good.
I don't know. Maybe they weren't – maybe they wanted to – maybe they actually wanted Mike D'Antoni. Maybe they actually thought he was the better fit for this team. I know Kobe, as much as Phil Jackson has great ties to the Lakers, Kobe, Steve Nash, and other players have all played with Mike D'Antoni and have a lot of respect for him and also like him too. It's not quite like the Mike Brown situation.
He's a good coach.
No, he is.
I know.
And it's not the Mike Brown situation where the Lakers literally brought in Mike Brown. They didn't even look at their personnel. They didn't even – talk to Kobe at all. I mean, I don't think a player should make your coaching decision, but I think when you have a player like Kobe Bryant in your team, you should at least run it by him and kind of make sure that, you know, he's okay with it. Even if he's not okay with it, you can still hire him, but I think you need to run it by him. I don't know what your thing is about that.
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, you know, I think he was 100% thinking the same way the fans were that they were going to take on Phil Jackson. I mean, dude, when you have your home stadium chanting, we want Phil for two games in a row, I mean, dude, do you pull that type of maneuver is my question. I mean,
yeah,
really,
no, I understand, and it looks bad. It's, but here's the thing.
Then you get called a shabby organization by an agent. I mean, not just any agent. I mean, he's a pretty well-known agent.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think Phil Jackson almost got to the point where he felt like he could basically, like, he could hold them hostage almost to a point. Like,
you think,
You know, and I think, I don't know that Phil Jackson was doing that. Nobody knows exactly what his demands were, whether how much money he wanted, if that played into any of it, whether he really wanted personnel decisions at all, you know, how many years he wanted, what he wanted to do exactly. Nobody knows all the details. You know, we get a little bit of here and there, but I mean, honestly, we'll have to see how the season goes. If the Lakers go on and win the championship this year or make the NBA Finals, even if they lose, it's not going to look so bad. So we just kind of got to play the year out, see what happens with Mike D'Antoni. And if it fails, you know, they're going to look back and be like, well, he should have brought in Phil Jackson. But at the same time, how many times can you basically just call Phil to, like, save the day? I mean, at some point, Phil Jackson's going to be gone. They're going to have to hire a new coach.
And then if you're Mike D'Antoni walking this, he handled it pretty good. He joked around a little bit and with the media, and I think he's going to do all right. He's a good coach. They're going to score points. They'll make the playoffs. But the thing is that do you even want to be in this type of situation? I mean, dude, they just fired Mike Brown after 5 regular season games.
Who wouldn't want to coach the Lakers? Dude, if you
look, know what I'm saying?
But here's the thing, dude. You got to look. You have the best center in the NBA on your team. You have Kobe Bryant, who's still
I get it.
An elite player.
You have no bench.
You have Steve Antoine Jameson.
Dude, they have no bench. It's proven.
Miami won last year with no bench.
And look at, dude, what? Are we going to really go there? Dude,
last year, Miami did not have much of a bench.
A bunch of OF dudes compared to Miami's youth. Dude, they are beat.
Well, okay.
Come on, man. And then Miami's, you know, Miami had, I think, a better bench because Lakers' bench is so old, dude. These guys are old as hell, guys on the Lakers.
No.
And let's face it, dude, Lakers should move out for a season because the Clippers, they own that stadium. That's their deal now. The Clippers are legit, dude. They just beat the Heat the other night. No. I mean, they're a legit contender, dude.
They are.
I think they can win it. It's possible. They have a great bench.
Here's another angle from the Mike D'Antoni thing, and I don't know if it has anything to do with it, but in the 80s there was the Showtime Lakers, and Mike D'Antoni is going to bring a similar style to this team. He's going to have them flashy.
Well,
he's
if you have anybody on your fantasy, you might as well pick them up. I mean, you got to be happy to have a Laker right now.
Because here's the thing. They're going to be flashy. They're going to score a lot of points. They're going to win a lot of games.
Absolutely.
They're going to win 50 games.
They're
going to be a top 2 or 3 team in the West. They're probably, Oklahoma City, them, and San Antonio are all
going to
battle.
I think a lot of the problem is Laker fans thought they were going to win 70 games. You know what I'm saying? Like, they got Dwight Howard and Steve Nash. They were forgetting that Steve Nash is almost 40 years old and he's a grandfather and Canadian. And they, you know what I mean? And Dwight Howard's coming off a back injury and a lot of drama.
Well, here's the problem. Mike Brown, I don't know. I mean, he won with LeBron James, and I think I could win with LeBron James.
Yeah.
I mean, he showed that he was completely using the personnel role. He's trying to run a Princeton offense in the NBA with an elite players. Like, that's not going to work. And I know a lot of coaches coach defense a little bit more than Mike D'Antoni, but Mike Brown was trying to, like, just coach defense, coach defense, coach defense. Well, I hate to say it, but the NBA is an offensive game. This isn't college.
Yeah.
You can't win with defense, just defense in the NBA. You need to have
do what he wanted to do.
You need to have a good defense, but have to be able to score.
Dude, they didn't even have the shooters he needed to do what he wanted to do. And the ones he did, he had them on the bench, so it didn't matter. You got to run the pick and roll type of stuff, and you got to mix things up, dude. You got to let Kobe take the ball and win you the game.
And here's the other thing: however old Steve Nash might be, Steve Nash is still a really good point guard. He's still above average, and Steve Nash's strengths are running pick and roll, are bringing the ball up in his hands and running the offense. And
Nash has one broken hip from a retirement home. Bro.
I love Steve Nash.
Man. I don't care if you love him. I'm telling you right now.
He's not
as good as you think he is. He's not the same player.
Mike Brown wasn't using their players right. He needs to at least use Steve Nash and the players they have in the right situation.
Okay.
And they weren't.
That's true. I think that they this time Mike D'Antonio is gonna let he's gonna let Kobe run the team and they're gonna do good. They're gonna win 50 plus games. I believe that.
Easy.
I still think the Clippers are the best team in town, hands down. And they're proving it right now.
It's a long season.
They're young, dude.
They
got a great bench.
They're really good. They got Chris Paul, Blake. They brought in Crawford.
Mm-hmm.
They got Bledsoe.
They got Grant Hill's coming up the bench.
Yeah, Lamar Odom.
He's throwing 15 minutes. So they got a good team, man. But anyways, we'll see what happens with that whole deal in LA. But I think, what do you want to go to next?
Oh, let's talk. You want to hit a little Major League Baseball MVP talk or what?
Yeah, let's talk about what just happened. First of all, let's hit the Cy Young Award winners. What do you think about R.A. Dickey, man?
Hey,
pretty
that's
awesome, knuckleballer.
Well, first
thank
of all,
thank God they recognize that they don't get the opportunity often.
And on top of that, this guy's like 36, 38 years old.
Yeah.
Dude, I mean, he reinvented himself, came back up like 2 years ago as a knuckleball
pitcher.
Learned
how to do it.
And he dominated this year with that knuckleball. And he deserved to win it. He really did.
Why is it in the Major League Baseball, doesn't it seem like this? There's always one knuckleballer in all of Major League. That's really popular for a long stretch of time, you know? I mean,
yeah.
I don't know why that is, but it just, you know.
I mean, the knuckleball's hard to throw.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody can just throw the knuckle. And here's the thing. If you can't do it consistently, you're going to get hit big time.
Right.
The knuckleball can be an effective pitch if you actually know how to pitch it, right? If you know
mm-hmm.
how to throw it right and do it. But you could be throwing meat sandwiches too, you know, and playing home run derby.
No, you're right. I mean, I watched it. Believe me, I'm a Red Sox fan, so I watched it with Wakefield for years. I mean, God, dude, he'd be amazing. And then he'd get to the playoffs when it got too cold.
And the ball didn't move.
And then he stuck with a Little Leaguer's fastball, 60-mile-an-hour fastball, throwing meatballs to A-Rod.
Throwing BP.
You know? Anyways, but yeah, that was cool. And then
the AL,
Price.
That was a close, really close race. I think it was like 4 votes or something different.
Mean, it was nice to see someone else get it this year.
Yeah.
Price deserved it.
Oh,
he had
a heck of a year, man.
He was tearing it up out there. You know, Verlander was just as worthy though, but
he's going to be worthy almost every year.
Know,
that guy's a beast,
you know,
man.
A beast,
that guy's a workhorse.
So.
He's so good.
Let's go into the MVPs.
Yeah.
We had a close race in the American League, which, in my opinion, and I know we've talked earlier about this, does nobody respect the Triple Crown anymore?
Well, I don't know. It
they
hasn't
just
happened.
Think it's like, that's like a hole-in-one, bro.
I think the last Triple Crown was 1967, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
And it was Carl
Yastrzemski.
Yastrzemski from
Boston,
your Red Sox.
Oh, yeah.
And, dude, for that to happen, in this day and age, it's so hard. Here's the thing. You got to look at it. Baseball's different now. You have guys like Adam Dunn
who just hit home runs. That's right.
And then you have guys like Ichiro and a few others who hit just
flat
for average.
Singles.
It is so hard for one player
to do everything.
You know, you have to hit 330. You have to hit 40-plus home runs, and you have to drive in over 130 RBI.
Absolutely.
That is almost impossible to do.
And it is. And then for first of all, let's say Trout had a great season.
Oh, unbelievable.
I mean, he had a great season.
Especially
I'm not hating on him. He was amazing. But he ran into the beast from the East this year, and Miguel Cabrera, he deserved the MVP.
You know, and another thing I think that, I mean, I look at, and I don't know how you look at it, but MVP, you know, the Angels didn't even make the playoffs.
No.
The Tigers made the World
That's
Series.
Right.
And I think you have to factor that in a little bit when you're looking at MVP.
Yeah.
Obviously, I mean, I know Trout made that team a lot better when he came up. The Angels kind of turned it around. They started out really bad. He came up, and that team kind of started going better. And his season was ridiculously good. But when you got to come down to it, I mean, Cabrera winning the Triple Crown, the Tigers making it to the World Series. You know, it was pretty cut and dry that Miggy Cabrera deserved that MVP.
Oh yeah, no, hands down. I agree with you. So let's move on from there. We're in baseball. We might as well talk about it. What do you think about the Marlins, dude?
Wow.
Police and everybody. What's going on down
there?
Dude,
they trade Jose.
Dude, the city is paying taxes on that team.
And then
they just let the whole team go.
They built that stadium with taxpayer money.
Right, right.
Then they bring in all these players.
Yeah.
It looks like they're going to be awesome,
right?
They bring in, you know, Mark Burway. They bring in Jose Reyes.
I remember when they were doing it, I was like, wow, they're legit. They're going out to win this thing.
And then last year they kind of slowly started getting rid of players. They got rid of Hanley Ramirez. Then they got rid of Heath Bell.
Right.
And then now, dude, they just traded Josh Johnson, Mark Burley, Jose Reyes. I think somebody else.
What's
too
the reasoning?
I don't know. I mean, if I'm a fan, they don't get fans to begin with. Florida Marlins, Tampa Bay Rays, those Florida teams don't draw fans to begin with. And when you're having when you're having the taxpayers pay money and you're dumping your players, you're dumping salary like that. Their payroll went from over $100 million last year. I think I saw it was like $18 million now. Once this trade goes through, their payroll is like $18 million.
God,
dude,
unbelievable.
The Yankees pay like multiple players more than $18 million a year.
Oh, absolutely.
The
right.
Red Sox were
the Red Sox.
Now.
The Red Sox have had it over the years, and they probably will again.
The Dodgers just paid $25 million just for the right to negotiate with that pitcher from Korea. $25 million just to negotiate with him. That's more than the Marlins payroll now. What a joke.
Yeah, no.
You know, honestly, Bud Selig, I don't think he'll do it, but he should step in and do something. No, I don't even know about a cap, but even look at maybe possibly like rejecting this trade or something like that. I don't know if he can do that. I know they have to give off
It'd
the
It'd be hard,
approval.
Man. They let the Sox do a Dice K. Remember that whole thing? Dice K's been solid, but he's not worth the money we paid him, I don't think. I mean, that's, you know, if you're going to pay that type of money, this dude better be an ace and come over here and just strike people out left and right, in my opinion, or win 20 games every season. Dice K's solid. I'm not saying he's not a good pitcher. No, he is. He's not going to burn you, dude, but what he does is he pitches the ball and he gets outs. He gives his fielders a chance.
Yeah.
And he gives the team the chance to win every game he pitches.
Yeah.
So he's a solid pitcher. He's going to get you 15 wins a year.
And he can stay healthy.
Well, yeah, but even when he's out, he still comes back and usually plays.
No, he does.
I mean, you know.
But you guys obviously way overpaid for him.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean,
hands down.
You guys paid $50 million just to negotiate with him.
Absolutely. No.
And then you gave him like a $50 million contract.
No, I'm not saying that we didn't. I mean, we overpaid for a lot of people. Once it starts rolling, dude, I mean, you heard me over the years, man. I thought 4 years ago when Josh Beckett went through that anxiety attack stuff on the mound. What did I tell you? I said, dude, they need to get rid of him right now. They should have let him go a long time ago. Thank God the Dodgers were dumb enough to take him, in my opinion.
The Dodgers are ridiculous right now.
Adrian Gonzalez was a great – look at
– No, I'm just saying as far as money, they're just throwing – like
Adrian Gonzalez was such a good player for the Sox. It just didn't work out for him.
But they're just throwing money at everybody right now. It's like they got an endless pocketbook or something going on with that new ownership down there. I don't know what they're doing. They took on Crawford. They took on Beckett. They took on Adrian Gonzalez. They took on Hanley Ramirez.
Dude, you got big dog Magic Johnson down there.
Well, he's not the funder.
I can't remember.
Cohen. It's whoever the owner is.
When Magic gets around town, dude, stuff happens.
Magic's more of a publicity person for
dishing
them.
Dishing some assists left and right. No, they got a good team, though. I mean, you know, the Dodgers have a solid team. It's just... You know, I just think they're throwing too much money around. They're going to get into a money trap sooner or later. So, anyways, staying on baseball, Yankees, what do you think? Who's going to be their big dog this year? Who are they going to go after this year?
I don't see them going after anybody. I mean, the only big – who's the big dog out there? Josh Hamilton. I don't see them going after Josh Hamilton. They already got enough players. I honestly see them – ever since you know, George passed away and kind of gave up the team. They haven't spent like they used to.
Yeah, I think they're scared to pull a trigger. Seems like the guys are kind of like going on mid-level guys, and I don't know. I mean, what's going to happen with the A-Rod thing? Is he right back? Is everything going to go right back to normal, just like nothing happened, or you think there's going to be a little bit of grudge holding and?
I mean,
something like that.
I don't think they're going to be able to trade him. It's going to be hard to expect a team to take on that kind of a contract. His contract's ridiculous, and he can't. He's not going to live up to it now.
He's not a good selling point after this postseason, and that was the biggest thing. It's like, you know, they didn't he didn't stick with him, and you know, he benched him, and they knew each other. They have a good, you know, relationship,
yeah.
And he still benched him. When other teams see it, that's a red flag. That means something's going on there. He couldn't hit the fastball, dude. Dude, when you're swinging that late, that guy couldn't hit an 80-mile-an-hour fastball in the playoffs.
Not off right-handers. He could not hit a right-handed pitcher.
Yeah, he just loses his vision or what?
Maybe he's
doing that thing Josh Hamilton did, drink too many Red Bulls or whatever, Monsters.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with him. He's obviously lost a lot of his bat speed.
All right, I'm done with baseball talk. Baseball sucks. We're done with the baseball talking. When we come back, we're going to talk some more about – we're going to go back to the NFL and talk about some football, talk about a little man opera. We're going to go over the 49ers and Chicago Bears game. If you guys got something to contribute to this, call us at 323-843-6059, and you're listening to The Hard Count.
Glory and suicide machines sprung from chaos.
Yo, and we're back. And this is the Hard Count. And give us a call at 323-843-6059. Right now we're going to go into some NFL talk. We're going to hit up the 49ers game this weekend against the Bears. What do you think, man?
Well,
the game of concussions?
Yeah, are either of those quarterbacks even going to play?
Well, they cleared Alex Smith cleared a stress test today for his concussion. So
yeah.
He'll be playing in that game.
I don't think it doesn't look like Cutler's going to play. They might be better off without him, though. He might not. Maybe Campbell won't throw so many picks. I don't know.
You just hate Cutler. I don't think Cutler's that bad. I mean,
yeah, some games
he's a wild man, but to win games like this against the 49ers, like a dominant opponent, you got to have your Cutler in there, man. You got to have old poster child for diabetes in there.
Yeah, so hopefully he doesn't throw five picks and you don't get freaking slaughtered.
So what else happened during this week for this game? So Brian Urlacher still sticking with his – he would lie to hide a concussion.
Well, I mean, all players do.
If you're Urlacher, I mean, of course, you're a caveman. I mean, you know, Jay Cutler's not a caveman. And, you know, he can't –
kind of a pussy, too.
Cutler's also got to really think. You know, I was watching – this brings me to a good point, something I watched today. I was watching this I don't know, it's like one of the NFL films things on offense and defense, and they were going over the plays. Dude, some of these plays are 19 phrases long, you know, and they take like 30 seconds.
You mean it's not like red barrel,
yeah,
red barrel,
yeah,
re-route,
listen, re-route. So they get this long thing like XYZ, 26 posts. The offense is looking at like, what is going on, right? So they get done with that, and then they go, you know, then they go over to the defensive side in the same game, and they call 3-4 blitz, ready, break, and they just leave. And then at one point, they actually show Urlacher, and he's talking about how pretty the clouds look. And the other side of the ball, their offense is still calling the play. You know, so the point is offensive players have a lot more thinking to do.
Yeah, they do. A little game, if you're
defense
not watching,
is reaction.
Ryan Tannehill just threw a pick. So basically, that game's over now.
Nice.
But,
there
back
we go.
To, yeah.
Another meaningless update here on the Hard Count.
Urlacher, I mean, let's be for real. I mean, of course, the linebacker. Defensive players are always going to try to hide.
Oh, they're reactionary and, you know, they're cavemen.
But everybody wants to play. I mean, nobody wants to sit out the game. I mean, everybody's going to try to, you know, cover up their injury if they can. I mean, even Cutler played a couple more plays after his concussion. They didn't take him out right
Cutler
away.
Cutler takes a lot of crap for kind of being a, you know, Chicago fans have called him out before, like last year when he got hurt
and, I mean,
in the
he
playoffs.
Was, his injury was
dude,
legit.
That was legit.
But if you ever look at Cutler, he has that look on his face like he doesn't give a shit. He kind of has that, like, you know, like attitude look on his face.
Hey,
and it gives off a bad vibe.
Yeah, I'm going to kiss Cutler's ass a little bit right now. I know you don't like him at all, but have you seen that new commercial? The NFL team shop commercial with Cutler in it, and the two ladies are talking back and forth, and they're talking about what they're going to wear, and Cutler's caught in the middle. It's pretty funny. You should check it out if you haven't seen it. Anyways, but, you know, I like Cutler, man. I think he's kind of misunderstood. I think he's overly passionate about the game. I'll say that. Sometimes he gets caught up in the moment, and, you know.
Yeah, well, he's dating Kristen Cavallari.
You can't.
I mean, the guy's boning him.
You can't hate him for caring and being that passionate about his team. And you know what? He's said controversial things in the past, and he's called people out, and they got pissed off about it. But how good's their defense playing right now?
Well, their defense is why they're winning the main.
No, but now. Remember at the beginning when they were all butthurt? Because Cutler was being a jerk to the defense, and he was talking smack or something, and da-da-da-da, locker room chatter, and everybody on the team was really mad at Jay Cutler. Well, how good are they playing now?
No, I mean, now that defense is probably the best defense in the NFL right now. They're probably playing the best.
In a team like that where you have all these veterans, everyone respects each other, and no one's going to call each other out a lot of times. You know, it's like if me and you are equals, it's sometimes it's hard to call each other out. Like, dude, you're really slipping, bro.
Yeah.
Maybe he didn't do it the most couth way, but he went out there and he put people on blast. They got pissed about it, but it's worked.
And now, you know, their defense is
right.
You know, probably playing the best in the NFL right now. Their
That's
defense
right.
is forcing
Absolutely.
Turnovers.
You know, they're winning a lot of games because of their defense. And they're scoring touchdowns with their defense. Their defense is really carrying their team a lot.
They're completely shocking me right now. It's good that they got a good backup. I do think Jason Campbell is a good back. I think Jason Campbell is one of the better backups in the NFL. I don't think he's a starting quarterback in the NFL, but he's a good backup. I think he's a solid option as a second quarterback.
So what do you think? You think the Bears can actually go into San Francisco and win on Monday?
No.
I don't think so
either. If Alex Smith starts, then no.
I mean, he's better than Kaepernick. I mean, let's be real.
People are getting caught up in the wave again. Here we go.
If they really start pressuring Alex Smith, is he going to not force the ball into
this is when
decisions?
Alex Smith shines.
He's going to go 7 for 8 for like 25 yards.
Okay, mark my words. This is when Alex Smith shines, people.
Is this when he makes that step to the great quarterback?
He proved it last year. When the game's on the line, it's a big game. He's going to have a good game, dude.
Yeah, kind of like against the Giants last year in the NFC Championship.
Let me explain it to you. I'll explain it to you because nobody expects it. And to be honest with you, the NFC Championship, he didn't lose the game for them. It was that freaking punt returner. He fumbled the ball twice.
Yeah, was that Kyle Williams?
Yeah.
Oh. Is that guy living in a hole?
Oh, man, it's so bad, dude.
I feel bad.
No, he's actually a pretty solid receiver, man. He'll be all right.
He came out of that hole. He had to dug himself out.
We got Teddy Ginn back. We'll be all right. No, but anyway, I think that the 49ers will handle him still. I think they can shut him down. The 49ers have been ran on quite a bit this year, and they're getting called out a little bit. And I think that Patrick Willis is going to buckle the hatches down. They're gonna show up. I think their defense is gonna show up. Dude, defenses are prideful, dude. When you're that upper echelon, two defenses like that, dude, it's gonna be a bloodbath on that field.
Yeah, I think losing Cutler is gonna be a big loss for this
game.
Only because with Campbell starting at quarterback, it's gonna make him really one dimensional. And if you are going against a defense like the 49ers, you can't be one dimensional.
Cutler's got balls, dude.
They at least need to know that you're gonna try to pass on them. And Cutler's not scared to make any
Cutler's
pass.
Cutler's got big balls, dude.
Well, I don't know if he's got big balls.
He's got big
balls.
But
he'll throw them – he'll definitely throw the ball anywhere at any given time. He's not scared to make any pass.
He's going to throw the ball around, dude.
But,
that's for sure.
Big his balls are, maybe that's for you and his girlfriend.
Hey, whatever.
But –
Okay, so let's move on to another game that kind of caught my eye a little bit. I know the Lions have been down, but the Packers, man, they're on a tear right now. What I tell you, man, the Bears need to look out. The Pack attack's coming to town, dude. They're looking good right now. They're playing real strong. Their defense is starting to get together. I mean, they got to get Clay Matthews healthy. That's a big deal.
Yeah, he's going to be out again this week.
I know.
This is a really big game for the Lions, too. They're 4-5. If they lose this game, they probably are going to eliminate themselves from.
They're going to play to see who to evaluate their players for next year.
Okay, Shanahan. All right. Anyways, though, but this is a big game for the Lions. It really is.
Yeah.
Because if they lose, they're pretty much their chance. Any chance at playoffs are out.
What do you got for a line on that, Saul? What do we got for a line
right now? Where is it?
Trying to find a line.
I got Green Bay by 4.
Green Bay by 4 only, right?
So,
wow.
Yeah, but they're on the road. I mean, when you're on the NFL, when you're going on the road in the NFL, even if you're really good, more than likely, if you are even a favorite, it's going to be a small. So a 4-point favorite on the road is actually pretty big because they are usually you get three points just for being the home team.
I think Green Bay is I think Green Bay might torch the Lions here.
I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I think the Lions are going to score some points, but I'm going to pick the Packers in this game. I think they cover the spread, too. They probably win by 7 to 10 points, but I see both teams scoring some points. I see something like 31-21, 31-24, somewhere in there.
Okay. How about the Jets? Are they going to get out of this thing? They get the Rams? Are they going to get out?
Dude, I don't.
Who's going to make it to four wins?
Maybe Alabama said they could beat the Jets, because that might be more realistic. I don't know.
You don't think the Jets will take the Rams this week?
I don't think they will.
All right, well, let's move on anyways. We'll go to the Eagles, Redskins. God, dude, it's amazing. Both these teams are 3-6 right now. You know, it's, God.
Who expected the Eagles to be 3-6, man? Wow.
They've underachieved. We're going to get to see Nick Foles.
Yeah, we are.
Is this it for Michael Vick? Was that his last game as an Eagle?
I don't know. I mean, he's got that big contract, but you know how NFL contracts are. They can pretty much cut him at any time. Washington's actually a 4-point favorite, which, I mean, I guess that's not that bad.
RG3, what's going on? Is reality set in finally?
He's still having a really good year.
No, I'm not hating on him. I'm saying it's reality of how bad the team is. Is it finally setting in, you think?
Yeah, I mean,
they were playing way above and beyond.
Yeah, I mean, that they're talking about Pierre Garçon possibly coming back this week, even if he's not 100%. Why rush him back anyway? Your team's 3-6. Why are you going to rush back?
Yeah, it really doesn't matter.
Rush anybody back.
Mike Shanahan already said he's just evaluating, so, you know, whatever. It's a practice game.
It seems silly to rush him back.
It's a practice, man.
It's a practice.
Anyway, so, this game right here, God, the Eagles are terrible, dude. I'll tell you what, if you have Shady McCoy, I'd start him this week, that's for sure. He's probably going to see quite a bit of carries this week.
Yeah, especially with Nick Foles starting.
I mean, you know, maybe Andy Reid will finally let him run more than 10 carries a game. It's ridiculous. Anyways, that's half of their problem. So, Tampa Bay, Carolina.
Oh, Cam Newton, huh?
Tampa Bay is on a little bit of a run, dude.
No, they look good.
I like Josh Freeman, dude. He's having a really good season.
He really is. They're 5-4. They're definitely trending towards the possible being like in last playoff spot.
Dude, they're starting to have some young weapons now. I mean, Doug Martin made a huge difference on that team. You know, they needed that. They needed a good running back.
And
Josh Freeman needed it.
Dude, Vincent Jackson, and they got Mike Williams. They got two good receiving options out there. Yeah. Then they got Josh Freeman, who's playing really, really good.
Absolutely.
And then when you got Doug Martin, I mean, Doug Martin's shredding people on the ground right now.
He's just unreal right now.
I mean, he kind of came back to earth last week.
Yep.
But he still had a great game.
Man. I mean, he's catching he's good hands out of the backfield.
He's good, man.
Cam Newton, I mean, is he going to put anything together here?
He's kind of, you know, once he got called out, you know that week where he really got called out?
Yeah.
His last few weeks have been a lot better.
No, they have been. They absolutely have.
And
he's played a lot
better. He'll probably have a decent game. They'll be in this game. I don't expect Tampa Bay to beat them very bad if they beat them.
I'll tell you what I like about Cam right now. He's listened to people. Obviously, he has a good camper on him right now, and they reeled him in like we were talking about weeks past, and they've quiet down, man. Just stop the drama. You know, he's starting to calm down a little bit.
Yeah, he's going to be all right. He's going to be good.
I'm not even going to ask about the Jaguars-Texans game. That's garbage. Texans definitely are going to take them there. That's a joke. The Jaguars are just a pitiful team to watch. I mean, they're – after Kansas City, how they played against Pittsburgh, Jacksonville now is my worst team again. Thank you.
Worse than the Chiefs?
Yes. Yeah. Jacksonville just beat out the Chiefs, who are the worst team in the league, in my opinion.
Somebody's got to be down there.
I mean, Jones, Drew, what's the deal, dude? Are we going to – I mean, they should just move them. They need to move them. One of these big dog teams that need a good running back.
But he's out for a while.
I understand, but they need to. What I'm saying is later on
in the
off season, move them. You know, they might as well. They're garbage. So anyway, so now you got the Saints, Raiders. Saints still, they're hanging in there, dude.
Nah,
I mean,
Saints are going
to
crush.
You know, they pretty much the Saints are looking like they got to win out, dude, to get that wild card probably, or they can afford maybe one more loss.
Yeah,
you know?
One more loss gets them 10-6. Then you can probably get in.
Drew Brees is on a tear. Here he comes, folks. 25 touchdowns, unreal. The guy's on fire right now, and you know they're unstoppable right now.
Yeah.
They're playing like.
I mean, the Raiders are kind of a mess right now. McFadden's going to be out again.
The Raiders are
going to be out again.
A wreck. They're going to get destroyed. Okay, so here's a matchup. Okay, and the Chargers blew it the first time up. I'm wondering if they are going to give the Broncos a run for their money, or is this a completely different Broncos team? What do you think?
This Broncos team, the last few weeks, have moved into the upper echelon. They are they're a top three team in the NFL right now.
I agree with
their
you.
Their record might not be as good as the Bears, the Texans, you know, the Falcons, but they are equally as good, if not better, than those teams. Peyton Manning looks like he did 10 years ago. This guy looks amazing.
And he has to thank the Chargers. The Chargers are a really supportive team in the NFL. I call them one of the supportive teams because they make everybody they play look really good. They're a really good support cast. So, anyways, they blew, a 28-point lead last time they played? 24-0. Peyton Manning comes back. Yeah. They made them look good. Peyton Manning's been amazing since. Thanks, Chargers, for ruining my life. Because we'll probably have to play the Broncos
in the playoffs.
In the playoffs. So anyway, but Peyton Manning looks good. The Broncos look, honestly, they look almost unbeatable right now. Their defense is young and fast.
Hopefully Norv Turner is updating his resume right now.
There, did you see his press conference after last week?
Oh man,
he's a mess. God dang, it was almost as bad as Denny Green's.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
If you want to crown them, crown their ass. Anyway, so Norv Turner pulled one of those, and it's not looking good in San Diego for him. I'd say he's pretty much
almost
on the out.
He needs to be editing that resume and hoping for an offensive coordinator position next year.
You know, we're
going to
talk about this game when we get back. Let's take a little quick break here, and then we're going to come back and talk about my game of the week and the great American hero that is Tom Brady. And
I think he's probably wearing UGG boots.
Well,
too,
I was looking at an NFL book tonight in Costco, and I'll be honest with you. They had it pretty right. They had Joe Montana first, Johnny U second, and Tom Brady third.
Was he wearing UGG
Peyton
boots?
Manning was fifth.
Was he wearing UGG boots in his picture?
Anyways, if you have something to say about that, call in here at the Hard Count at 323.
What kind of man wears UGG boots?
6059, a manly man. We'll be back after this.
Please.
And we're back at the hard count. Call us in at 323-843-6059. Right now, first, we're going to go over this Patriots-Colts matchup at Foxborough.
And here comes the blow fest.
On Sunday night. You know how I feel about Mr. Thomas Brady.
He's the second-best quarterback in this game.
Yeah, well.
Andrew Luck first, Tom Brady.
Tom Brady is a great American hero. Andrew Luck admires him. I heard he was had his poster up in his hotel room the other night at Tom Brady.
Oh, yeah. That's cute. Was he wearing dog boots in that picture?
I heard he's actually dating Giselle's little sister.
Oh, really?
It's kind of weird. I don't know. Anyways, so
is that Tom Brady's boyfriend name right now?
You know, both teams are 6-3. I'm biased, but I like the Patriots in this one.
I mean, I do too.
We just got to see this game if the Patriots shore up that defense. I don't know if they're going to or not. You know, they're going to spend the rest of this end of the season, obviously working on their offense, but really working on that defense, dude. You know, they're going to start clicking. They got a lot of injuries right now, a lot of players banged up. Who doesn't? But you're talking Welker. Half of their line's banged up right now.
Aaron Hernandez.
This will be Tlaib's first game on the field, playing corner. We'll see how he does out there. He can't hurt, I'll say that, you know. That's one good thing about Belichick. He realized, you know what, these guys are – it was not that they were messing up because they're young. It's repeated mistakes. They're doing the same thing over and over and over. And you know what drives me off the wall about this team? Dude, you're practicing every day against one of the very best offenses in the NFL. And they say they do good against the Patriots' number one offense. So what the heck is the disconnect, and why are they doing so bad in the games?
I mean, you know, they're probably playing a little better quarterbacks in real games. I don't know. Practice is always different, you know. It's different in a live game, I guess.
I get it, man, but the coverage is the coverage is the coverage.
You know, I understand what you're saying.
I mean, they don't have to hit anybody. It's about covering guys. They're not covering guys. They're breaking coverage. It's like, is the defense too complicated?
They're young. A lot of their better players are young. Maybe they just need a little bit more time to kind of mesh together.
I would love to say that, but I'm watching players like Arrington get just smoked. You know what? They need to just get rid of Arrington. You know, I know he had a bunch of interceptions last year. They were given to him. They were pretty much handoffs.
Yeah.
You know, and now he's gotten smoked week after week.
So you like the Pats to cover the 9-point spread or what?
Oh, well, usually at the Pats when they win big. So, yeah, I think they'll beat them by 10. I think it'll be a close game, I think the Pats will get ahead enough, and I think Andrew Luck right now, they're playing really good, but I just think Andrew Luck, this is the big-time show. We'll see how the kid does. I like him a lot. Don't get me wrong. I think he is going to have the opportunities to surpass Manning and Brady if he stays healthy.
Oh, I mean, he definitely has the potential to
absolutely
at least be in that class. He's
going
to be in the, you know, the class of the top elite quarterbacks if he stays healthy and everything like that. You know, I think the Colts record is better than their team is. They're playing,
absolutely.
You know, they're 6-3. They're not a 6-3 team. Like, they're not in that same category as the Patriots, the Broncos, and the other 6-3 teams. But they are playing good. They're a good team, but they're not there yet. They're going to be in for something. They're going to be in for an awakening this week. I think the Pats will probably beat them by 10 to 14 points. But it'll be a good, you know, it's good to see. It'll be good to see where Luck's at. It's going to be a big challenge for him going against, you know, Belichick's going to have something schemed up for him, you know, for this rookie quarterback coming in.
Honestly, they have a lot of respect for Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck is dude, well ahead of his years. I mean, he's so classy. He went on, they tried to get him to talk, you know, the media. So they tried to do this whole, what do you think about their bad pass defense? You know, their coverage. And you know, he was smart. He said, you know what, they're confusing. They're not bad. They're confusing and young. They mix coverages a lot, and there's a lot going on back there, so I'm going to have to stay alert. I still think it's going to be a little bit too much to overcome. He's going to have to keep on. They're going to play catch-up in this game.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely beyond his years. I mean, the guy went to Stanford. He's a highly you know, he's super smart quarterback. He definitely has a great head on his shoulders. Dude, they, you know, the offense supposedly they gave him is really, you know, they gave him the whole playbook. You know, they didn't give him like a condensed version for him to learn. You know, he picked everything up right off the bat, and he's running with it. You know,
I'm pretty sure the Pats are gonna man up with. They're gonna give Tlaib his first test like right off the bat, and they're just gonna man him up on Reggie Wayne, and it's gonna be a battle back and forth. Really, Tlaib's got nothing to lose, and the Pats have nothing to lose by having him out there.
Yeah.
And that's a dangerous situation when you get a guy that had 19 interceptions over the last two seasons.
Yeah, no, he's really good. You know? Reggie Wayne.
Reggie Wayne
surprises you. Wow.
He was awesome.
You know, they were saying that guy was on the verge of, you know, being out of town, losing his job, kind of. And he's already almost at 1,000 yards, you know, 70 catches halfway through the season. So
that's kind of like our weekly preview for right now. So let me ask you a few questions. I'll throw them out there. You listeners can call in and answer as well at 323-843-6059. We'd like to hear from you. Right now, who's your comeback player of the year? I mean, you got two of them. And does Adrian Peterson really qualify?
Yeah.
He really only missed a couple games.
Well, here's the thing. That's interesting because I was listening to Mike and Mike this morning as I was driving into work. And they're like, well, Adrian Peterson, yes, he's coming back from an ACL.
Right.
But here's the thing. Adrian Peterson, I believe they said he only missed one game last year.
Right.
So it's kind of hard to be comeback player of the year when you really didn't miss any time. You know, he had such a great recovery. The guy's such a ridiculous, you know, athlete. He came back so quick. He didn't miss any games this year. So it's kind of hard to give him comeback player of the year when he really didn't miss any time. Now, Peyton Manning, I think, is a completely different. The guy missed the whole season. He had multiple neck surgeries. And, I mean, I think it's hard to say to give anybody comeback player of the year over him.
Well, absolutely. I mean, the surgery he went through, the surgeries he went through is insane, dude. You remember they didn't think he'd ever play again at one point, and then it came down to the wire. You know, it was just what he had to go through and endure on this off season to get ready to play. And don't get me wrong, what AP did is absolutely incredible.
And the time frame that he did.
I mean, just unreal. And what he's doing right now, so. I would go with Peyton Manning still, and I think the reason is Adrian Peterson doesn't qualify in my mind.
Yeah. You know, the only thing, you know, and I don't know how other people do, but it's almost hard to look at Peyton Manning as comeback player of the year. I mean, I know he missed a year, but this is what he's done his whole career. So, it's, you know what I mean? It almost looks like it's just him just carrying on with what he's
falling
done forever.
Right back in order, you know.
Yeah.
My other thing is right now in the league, playing active players right now, how many and who do you think will be a Hall of Famer? Quarterback?
I mean, you can start with the obvious, you know, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning. They're probably both in already. If they retired today, they would be in.
Drew Brees, probably. Do you think that they're going to go down? I mean, all those classic New England, Indianapolis showdowns. Do you think those two are going to go a bit down as, like, the biggest rivalry quarterbacks of all time?
I mean, I didn't watch a lot of games like in the back in the day. I'm sure there's some pretty big quarterbacks.
All the AFC championships.
I mean,
and
it would be tough. It's probably close for sure. I mean, I personally, like, I know in our generation, in our lifetime, there's never been a bigger
one. Yeah. Like, I always think back. I try to look at, like, a Troy Aikman against the 49ers quarterbacks or something like that. But there really wasn't a rivalry where it was the whole team rivalry, but it didn't really. You didn't get that feel. It was almost like Troy Aikman always kind of took himself out. But these two guys were, like, out there. You could tell they were buddies, I'm sure, on the offseason.
Yeah.
It's been rumored. You know, they obviously they hang out and all that stuff. They're in an elite group. But they had that thing, like, I want to beat you, dude. Like, they were, like, competitive on the sideline.
Yeah.
It's the only games you'd see Brady and Manning up cheering for the defense. It was
– I think part of the reason their rivalry was so much more of like a player-player rivalry than more of a team rivalry. Team, like, you can look back, there's a lot of team rivalries. But the thing is, it's kind of the way the media is so much bigger now. So
the
media kind of portrays those two against each other. Also, the way the league was played, you know, it was such a pass-heavy league when those two were playing against each
other. Oh, absolutely.
Both teams relied on the passing game. Mm-hmm. Both teams really didn't have that good of a running game. You know, so it was kind of like those two were going head-to-head because it was basically which quarterback played better was going to win the game.
You know,
whereas when other teams played, you know, Aikman and Gibson, you know, they had running games. Emmitt Smith was probably more of a carrying that offense. You know, Michael Irvin, Troy Aikman never blew anybody away with
that.
No,
absolutely not. You know, what's nuts to me is the way usually when you have a guy that's an underdog, Brady, and you have your – no, listen, man. And you have your prize-winning horse in the stable, Peyton Manning, first-round pick, sixth-round pick. You know, come on.
Maybe it's 10
true.
Years ago.
No, listen, it's true.
Maybe 10 years ago.
Let me make my point. My point is it's crazy how it's flipped. They put Tom Brady, you know, I know he's a better-looking dude, obviously. But, you know, so he's a better-looking dude, and he's got all these fancy sponsors. You see what I'm saying? He was this underdog guy that just, you know, barely played at Michigan, sixth-round draft pick, scraggle muffin. No one talked about him. I thought the Patriots were crazy when they drafted him. But anyway, so they wasted their sixth-round pick, everyone thought, and then this guy comes out of nowhere, replaces Drew Bledsoe. And you'd think that he was like this blue-collar hero, which he is in New England, okay? I know he represents like a white-collar type of advertisement is what I'm getting at. And then Peyton Manning, on the other hand, was this prize horse. Everybody wanted him. He was the first guy, like the first-round draft pick, the big dog. Everyone knew he was going to be good and expected him to be good. He's Archie Manning's son. And he's kind of more the blue-collar guy, the goofball.
Yeah, I see what you're saying with that. I mean, they kind of flipped roles.
It's funny how it flipped roles.
It came in like Brady. I mean, he was, like you said, a sixth-round pick. Brady was supposed to be nothing. Like
right,
Peyton
absolutely.
Peyton Manning was a great college player.
Right.
Came in, I mean, was he second? He was picked second, actually, I think, behind – did Leaf go before him? Or maybe Manning. I don't know. Whichever. It doesn't matter. But whichever way, he came in as – and it was expected to be an elite quarterback, expected to be as good as he is.
Right.
Whereas Tom Brady was basically
no
a nobody. And now
he
it's
wasn't
like
gonna make the practice
team. Now everybody would probably put Tom Brady maybe a notch above Peyton Manning.
Just
I
right
mean,
now.
Like
yeah.
I, you know, there's like Tom Brady I
That's
mean
the Super Bowl.
The notch is like, you know, so close.
It is so close.
And
I'll admit that.
And it's you know, and it's elite notch. It's like the who you know, Tom Brady's like in Joe Montana's category, whereas maybe Peyton Manning's like halfway in between them, you know. Like below him, just barely below him, not even like a spot below.
Yeah,
Peyton Manning needs to win
he needs to win another Super
it's
Bowl.
It's like 1-1A almost, basically.
He really
you know?
Does need to win another Super
he
Bowl.
He does.
It's important. I mean, it's gonna put him at the same level. Tom Brady really has him right now just because of the Super Bowls.
I mean, I think that's the only reason Tom Brady has him. I think as far as like managing a team, running the offense, like. I think Peyton Manning does more, like when he's out there commanding the game.
Right.
I think he does more on the honestly, I think Peyton Manning doesn't even need an offensive coordinator.
No,
I mean maybe just to you know call the plays and kind of set stuff up a little bit. But when Peyton Manning's out there, he pretty much runs the show.
Yeah,
I think more than even Brady does.
Yeah, that could be. I mean, that's possible that could be. I mean, you know, I'm sure they're both. I think they're both at the same level as far as managing. I think. Peyton Manning might be more of a father figure, and Tom Brady's more of like a big brother. You better do what I say, or I'm gonna piss in your Wheaties type of thing. No, seriously.
No, I
think Peyton Manning's more of like a teacher and like, hey, buddy, come here. I'm gonna teach you. I'll read you the story, and then if you mess up, I'm gonna scold you. Brady's more of like a, hey, you douchebag, you better get it right, or I'm gonna piss in your Wheaties.
So who else?
And you won't play.
So who else do you think in the league outside of Brady, Manning? Maybe Breeze. I think Breeze might lock up a Hall of Fame spot.
Will be close. And I think...
I mean, Aaron Rodgers is trending towards
Aaron
that.
Rodgers
he's,
will.
He's
Aaron
too
Rodgers
I mean,
will.
Right now, he's too young into his career.
He's going to do it, dude.
But
he's,
I think he will. What about Eli?
Eli's going to make it, too.
I mean, Eli's Super Bowls, I think, half the...
Eli's going to make it. The Giants are so good, dude. Tom Coughlin's such a good coach. I'm not saying he's the best ever, but that Eli's the best ever, but... He's going to be in the mix. He's definitely in.
What about Big Ben? Like, what if Big Ben was another ring or two? What do you think?
If Big Ben went, Big
he,
Ben.
He doesn't. Ha- he doesn't. He's not flashy. He doesn't have the staff.
You know what?
But he's a winner,
you know
man.
What?
He really is.
Let's save this and continue on our Sunday show.
Okay.
And we'll talk about it. You guys think about this one and plead a case for Big Ben. I think he's on the fence, but he's won Super Bowls and.
You know, he's not flashy, but he gets the job done.
He
and he wins
a
lot of games.
He's a tough son of a bitch, that guy.
He wins a lot of games.
He is.
And I mean, I can't really think of anybody else that belongs in that category right now yet.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for tuning in. That's our show for tonight on Thursday. Tune in on Sunday. We're going to have a two-hour show. And we'll hit you up and check our webpage and see if we'll be on Saturday. We're not sure yet. But definitely Sunday. We'll be on at 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. right before kickoff. We'll go over all the fantasy stuff and all the NFL stuff. So thanks for tuning in. This is The Hard Count with Corey and Saul. We'll see you on Sunday.